Okay. It's something interesting tonight. We have a shaila. If a person performs a transaction and inserts a tanai, inserts a condition that I only want the transaction to be effective, I only want the get to be chal, I only want a certain deal to be effective if I fulfill such and such a condition. And he ended up fulfilling the condition, bo'inus, he ended up fulfilling the condition against his will. It just fell out that he fulfilled the condition, but he would have rather of not have fulfilled the condition. So the question is there a tainus oinus? Could the person claim that he doesn't want it to be considered that he fulfilled the condition and he wants the transaction to be void? Now, this sugya, interestingly enough, is virtually the first sugya in Ksubis. There's a sugya of Higiyah Zman before, and then right away it gets into the sugya of Tainus Oinus. And then the same exact sugya, the flip side of the sugya, the Hashlama, the complementary sugya, is in Nedarim. So it straddles the two Masechtas of Ksubis and Nedarim. So let's review some of the Marmikonis that we might have seen in Masechtas Ksubis, and then we'll see a parallel Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, and then there's going to be a third Gemara in Maseches Gittin that gives us a whole new perspective about what's going on over here. So let's see. The Gemara says in the very beginning of Maseches Ksuvis, Omar Rava Ule'inim Gittin Eino Kein. When it comes to Gittin, that's not the case. Which means what? Kesova Rava, Rava is of the opinion, Ein Oines Begittin, that normally you're allowed to taina oinus. Normally, you're allowed to say that it's not my fault, so I don't want to be penalized because it's not my fault. But when it comes to gittin, when it comes to giving a divorce, you cannot say that it wasn't your fault, and the get will be valid. Minolei l'Ravaha. How does Rava know this? How does Rava know that a fulfillment of a condition of a get, of a conditional get, will be effective even if you would have rather have not fulfilled it? So let's go through the cases that the Gemara brings. The Gemara brings, Hareze Gitech, if a man gives his wife a get, and he declares, Hareze Gitech, Me'achshav, I want the get to be effective immediately, Imloi Basi, Mikan V'yad Yud Beis Chodesh. If I don't return within 12 months, I want the get to be effective retroactively. So we're not speaking about a case where the man is angry at his wife and he has doubts about his marriage. We're not speaking about such a case. We're speaking about a case where the husband wants he has his wife's best interest in mind. So he's going away on a trip, or he's going to battle or something like that. So he gives his wife a conditional get that if he doesn't show up in the next 12 months, so he doesn't want his wife to be an iguna, so he wants the get to be effective. And not only that, he even inserted the tonight me'achshav. He wants the get to be effective retroactively from now. I'm giving the get now. If I don't appear, if I don't return within 12 months, the get should be effective immediately. The get should be effective retroactively for the time of the date or the time of the getting. So says the Gemara, Umes b'toshnai maser chaydish. And lo and behold, he died during that time. So hareze get. It's a good get. Now there are a couple of issues here. Why is the get a good get? There's a concept, one cannot divorce after he died. So she will not have the status of a divorcee. She'll have the status of a widow. So how could the get be effective if he died? So the answer is simple, because the get is chal me'achshav. The get is retroactively chal. So if a person would give a get me'achshav, and then the person subsequently dies, the get would be effective retroactively while he was still alive. So that's not an issue, that how could he give a get after he already died. The get is effective retroactively. The issue here is that he only gave the get on condition that he doesn't come for the next 12 months. If he dies, so to speak, he's being held back from coming against his will. He would have liked to have come. So he's being held up against his will. So seemingly, this kiyum hatnai, the fulfillment of the condition, is being done ba'inis. It's being done against his will. And nevertheless, it says, it's a good get. Harei ze get. So the Gemara says, meis v'hu adin l'chala. Presumably, it doesn't make a difference which oinis it is. Just like when he dies, it's considered a fulfillment of the condition, because at the end of the day, he'd never returned. So the conditions were met, and the get is effective retroactively. So hu adin l'chala. So presumably the same thing would apply to another oinis, to a more practical case where he's alive and he's sick. The reason why he wasn't able to return is because he's held up in a hospital someplace, so he wasn't able to return. But nevertheless, and in that case, he would have preferred to return. Nevertheless, it seems to say the get is a good get. Now, by the way, if he died anyway, what's the difference if it's a good get or not? So the difference would be that if she's a Yavama, she's free to marry, as opposed to having to have the either the Yibum or the Chalitza from the Yavam. So she's free with this retroactive get. We understand the efficacy of the get, but the kiyum hatnai, the fulfillment of the condition, was ba'inis. So presumably hu adin l'chala. So Rava attempts to bring a raya from this Mishnah that a fulfillment of a condition ba'inis is considered a fulfillment. He gave a get. He only wants the get to be valid if he doesn't show up in 12 months, and he was held back ba'inis. Nevertheless, it's a fulfillment of the condition, and the get is a valid get. He died in this case, but presumably the same thing would apply to chal. So you see from here that a kiyum hatnai ba'inis is considered a kiyum hatnai because he didn't come because he died, or because he was sick, and nevertheless, it's a good get. So the Gemara makes a distinction. You can't prove from this case that other fulfillments ba'inis are considered a fulfillment. So in item Gimel, the Gemara responds, Dilma Meistafka. Maybe specifically Misa is accepted as a fulfillment. The Loi Nichalei, the Tipol Kameyama. Because after all, the whole reason he gave the get was in order that she shouldn't be Niguna, that she shouldn't be waiting for him after 12 months, not knowing what happened to him, and that she can't remarry because maybe she's Yavama or maybe she's an Eshes Ish. So the whole purpose of the get was to allow her to remarry. So in this particular case, he wants the Misa, he wants the oinis of dying to be accepted as a fulfillment of the condition. And that's why the get is a good get retroactively. But imagine if he's alive and well, and he's held up in a hospital somewhere, he's sick, and he can't return, where he would rather the get not be valid. It's a mistake. He stipulated that if he doesn't come back within 12 months, the get should be a good get. But he would have liked to be able to return. He's being held back by this. Maybe in that case, it would not be accepted as a fulfillment. Maybe he would be able to taina oinis. Maybe he would be able to claim that it was against his will and the get cannot be imposed on him against his will. So we can't bring a raya from here because this exceptional oinis of Misa, ironically, is the best fulfillment possible because the whole reason why he gave the get was to release her and that she shouldn't have to be zakuk, she shouldn't have to be bound to his brother, to the yavam. So the Gemara goes on to another example, another precedent case where it seems to say that a fulfillment ba'inis is considered to be, is accepted as a fulfillment. So in item dalet, this is another example the Gemara brings. El miha, it's from the following case. Hahu da omra lahu, there was a man who said to the people, maybe he was in his living room, he's on a trip, and he says to the people in his living room, Eloi asina mikan v'atvasin yoimin lehavigita. A similar case, this is not a Mishnah, this is a story in the Gemara. A man said to his wife, if I don't return within 30 days, I want this to be a get. Asa b'soif klasin yoimin. He came at the end of 30 days. He wants to return. Upaske mabra. And he's frustrated because the ferry is on the other side. So he simply can't get across the canal. He can't get across the river because the ferry is on the other side. Upaske mabra. So he's on the wrong side of the river. He wants to be home in time. The clock is ticking. And The ferry's not coming. Maybe the ferry broke down or something, and he can't get across the river, and he misses the deadline. Omrelohu, he's shouting from the other side of the river. Chazu da'asoy, can't you see? I came, I came. So what does he want? He wants to void the get, because it's true that I said, if I don't come back within 30 days, the get should be effective. But I don't want this to be considered that I didn't come. I'm trying to come. Don't you see? I'm trying to come. Omar Shmuel paskins, lav shmei masya. This does not qualify as coming. When you stipulated that if you don't return within 30 days, the get should be effective, you meant if you don't return home. The fact that you're on the other side of the river, it's close, but it's not enough because you didn't return home. Even though it's clear that you would have liked to return, but lav shmei masya, it's not considered coming. So what do you see from here? That although the fulfillment of the condition technically was fulfilled, but it was bainus. He doesn't want this to be considered a fulfillment. He would rather void the get. Nevertheless, a kiyum hatnai, even though it's ba'inis, is accepted as a fulfillment of the condition. The conditions were met. You said that if you don't come back within 30 days, it should be a get. You didn't come back within 30 days, so the get is a get. So of course, I mean, they were happily married. He wants to come back. If she agrees, he could remarry her, but she's going to have the status of a grusha. The get was valid. So you see from here that a fulfillment, ba'onis, is accepted as a fulfillment, even though it's against his will. The Gemara again rejects the proof. Dilma einse de shchiach shiny. This is a common onus. This is something that happens all the time. The man got stuck, he got caught in traffic. The man couldn't find the parking space. So he's late for his appointment because he got caught in traffic. This is something common. So the Gemara explains, you should have expressed this. You should have accepted this case. You should have said that, of course, if I can't come back because there's no ferry, then of course I don't want that to be considered that I didn't come. This is something that's common enough that you should have realized, you should have expressed in the get specifically that you don't want this to count. You afsid not shay. So you're the one who brought this upon yourself, because if normally, perhaps you can tie into this. Normally, you can say that it's not your fault. But this is such a common occurrence. You should have anticipated this, and you should have expressly accepted this from the condition. You should have expressed that you don't want this to be a kiyum hatnai. Iyu afsed anafshei, he caused the loss upon himself. So again, where are we holding now? If the person stipulates, we're trying to prove that a kiyum hatnai ba'onis is considered a kiyum. We have two examples where we see that the kiyum hatnai is considered a kiyum. The first example was that the man died, and that's like the most extreme case possible. He didn't expect that. Nevertheless, that's considered a kiyum, but it's not a proof, because if we would be able to ask him, he would want that to be considered a kiyum, because in a sense, that's the whole reason why he gave the get, that she shouldn't fall to Yibo. So that he's not going to avoid the get because of that. He wants the get to go through. The second case is on the opposite side of the spectrum. In this case, it's a very common onus. He certainly does not want the get to be effective, because had he had the ability to come, he would have liked to have come. It's not really his fault that the mabra, that the ferry, is on the other side of the river. He would like to come. Nevertheless, he should have anticipated this ikuv. He should have anticipated this delay. And he should have expressly said that this does not count as an ikuv, because this is something that happens all the time. He got caught in traffic, basically. He should have said that if I'm not home in time for supper, this doesn't count because it was traffic. So the Gemara was not able to prove that an ordinary oinus, an oinus that is uncommon, that he didn't anticipate, the Gemara was not able to prove that even such an oinus is accepted as a kiyum. Maybe the person could tie an oinus. Maybe the person could say that had he that he would rather the get be void. So the Gemara concludes with something very interesting in item hey. The Gemara's maskana is that mi'ikar hadin, the letter of the law, the ikar hadin, is that a kiyum hatnai ba'oinus is not considered a kiyum. It's not accepted as a fulfillment. And again, these examples are not proofs. The Yavam case, when he died, He wants that to be a kiyum. The case where it was a very common oinus, it's his own fault because he didn't expressly take that out. He didn't stipulate that that doesn't count. So those cases are extreme cases. But an ordinary oinus that's uncommon, that would not be considered a fulfillment, and he technically could tie an oinus. We weren't able to prove that he can't tie an oinus. He should be able to tie an oinus. So Rava says a svara de nafshe. Rava has his own svara, and this is a fascinating concept, because of tsnuos and because of prutzos. Because some ladies are tsnuos. Literally, they're modest, they're discreet. In this context, what it means is that they're timid, they don't want to do the wrong thing. They're tzaddikim, they're tzaddikis. They don't want to do the wrong thing. They're tsnuos, they're modest, and they're discreet, and they're careful. And prutzos, you have women on the other side who are jumping to marry somebody else at the slightest provocation. So in that case, we have the tsnuos and the prutzos. So the Gemara explains, mishum tsnuos. You know why you can't tie na oinus? Because of tsnuos. Because anytime a husband gives his wife a get, even with the wife's best interests in mind, if I don't return in 12 months, if I don't return in 30 days, the get should be valid, and lo and behold, he doesn't return, she's going to be reluctant to get remarried. Because if you'll say that it's not a get, sometimes, and probably most of the time, it's not an oinus, and she's going to think that perhaps she's going to be afraid, perhaps it was an oinus, and then she's going to be niguna. So the very thing that the husband was trying to accomplish is going to defeat itself, because this woman is so careful, is so discreet, is such a tzaddikus, that she's going to be too afraid to take the get, because maybe he didn't return because of an oinus. Uma'anga v'yasfa, she's going to sit there until her old age, not being reluctant to get remarried, because she's afraid that maybe the husband is out there somewhere, laid up somewhere, and he wasn't able to return. So because of that, the Chachamim said that even though an oinus technically is not a kiyum, even though this woman is right, that if the husband was held up somewhere, the get is void, but the Chachamim said she's allowed to remarry. Because if we don't make that takana, then the woman will never remarry. Tsnuos will never accept the get, because they'll always be afraid that the husband is held up somewhere, and the whole purpose of the get was that she shouldn't be niguna. And then you also have women on the opposite side of the spectrum, prutzos, wayward women, that if you say that it's not a get, so sometimes a husband's going to give a get to his wife if I don't return within 30 days, and she's going to hear through the grapevine that it was an oinus, and really the get is void, but no one else is going to realize that. Her prospective new husband, second husband, is not going to realize that. He's going to innocently think that she's a divorced woman, or the Bezdin's going to think that she's divorced, and she's going to go ahead and remarry, and then it's going to turn out that the get was void, because indeed it was an oinus, and the children from the second marriage will be mamzerim. So because of these tragedies on both sides of the spectrum, that the conditional get, one woman will be afraid to use the get because she'll think the condition wasn't fulfilled. The other woman might have heard through the grapevine that the condition was takan not fulfilled because he was held up by oinus, and she's going to remarry anyway and mess up the innocent, unsuspecting second husband. So because of this, the Chachamim made a takana that if you don't show up, regardless, the halacha is that the get is a good get. The Gemara asks the obvious question, then how can the Chachamim have the power to release an Eishes Ish? If the get is not a get, how can they release the Eishes Ish? So the Gemara says there, I put it into brackets, Kol HaMekadosh is a Daita D'Rabbanan Mekadosh. When a person does a Kedushin, he says, Hareyat Mekudeshes Li Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. I am hereby marrying you according to the laws and the traditions of Moshe and the Jewish people. And the reason why we add that to the declaration is because it's as if every Kedushin is a stipulation that he only wants the Kedushin to be valid if the Chachamim say so. And in the Chachamim exercise, they have the authority to exercise the right to certain, under certain circumstances that the Gemara talks about, they can annul the Kedushin retroactively. So the husband gave his wife a get with the condition on paper, on the surface was fulfilled, but in actuality was an oinus. So the halacha is you can technically tie an oinus. Really, we shouldn't consider it a fulfillment, then the get should be void. But in order to prevent these delays, in order to prevent these inconveniences and these tragedies, so we say that the get is a good get. So we see from this Gemara that essentially a kiyum hatnai ba'inis is not a kiyum. It's not considered a fulfillment. The person would be able to void the transaction. It's an exceptional case at the end by gittin that the Rabbanan let the get go through using the mechanism of kolam akadish, a daita the Rabbanan akadish, in order that the women will feel comfortable and secure to remarry. But a normal, ordinary monetary transaction, the halacha would be that the transaction would be void. And this is demonstrated in the Gemara Nedarim. A Gemara Nedarim not too far off, in a couple of weeks. The Gemara says on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, it's almost the identical Gemara, but now the Gemara is talking about money matters. We're not talking about it yet. So money matters is essentially a way of highlighting the Ikur Hadin, because in this case, when it's money matters, we don't have the consideration of an iguna, of a woman, of a special takana to save the woman. Over here, we can actually identify the core issue and see and highlight the core issue that a kiyum hatnai ba'inis is not a kiyum hatnai. So the Gemara says the following. Ahu gavra, there was a man, the atvis schusa bibei dina, that he gave his schusim over to the bezdin. So probably what was happening, the Rishonim there aren't so clear about what was happening. Probably we can conjecture what was happening. Perhaps the man had a shtar, an IOU. You owe me $1,000. Maybe the shtar was missing kiyum. You have to notarize the witnesses. You have to validate the witnesses. And the malve, the one who's owed the money, is delaying. He keeps on pushing off. He can't find witnesses, he can't find comparable witnesses to verify the signatures. So in the meantime, this case is dragging, and the loive is claiming that he paid up the money, or he's claiming that the shtar is forged, whatever he's claiming, and the malve has documents that are putting a lien on your property. Now, you don't want this to drag on indefinitely, so the Bezdin gives him an ultimatum. The Bezdin tells him that we're going to give you 30 days to finally find your witnesses who can validate the shtar. And if you can't validate the shtar, then we're going to consider the case closed. And that's it. So verify your document now or forever hold your peace. So the Gemara says like this. He was atfis chusab medina. He gave his documents over to the Bezdin. Va'oma, and the malve, the claimant, said, Eloi asina ad plasim yamin. If I don't return within 30 days, because I'm going to go back and try to find all of my proofs that I have to my case, if I don't return within 30 days, levatlin hanu schusai, I want all of my schusim, my shtaris, my documents, my alleged claims, I want them to all be null and void. So that's it. That was the deal. It's like a get. It's like the case of the get. The transaction is to nullify his schusim, to give up his case, to waive the case. The condition was that if he doesn't return within 30 days, he wants to waive the case. So the transaction is waiving the case. The condition is not returning within 30 days. Says the Gemara, Isnes, an oinus happened. The reason why he didn't show up was because he got sick, not because he was forfeiting the case. The reason why he didn't return was because he got sick. But also, he didn't come. So Omar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, Batal schusei. So Rav Huna says, now Rav Huna argues on what we've been saying until now. Rav Huna holds that his schus is batal, that Rav Huna imposed the strict din that you didn't show up. You didn't return after 30 days. You promised that if you don't return after 30 days, you're going to void, you're going to close your case, you're going to forfeit the case, you're going to void your schusim. You didn't return after 30 days. So that's it. You lost your case. Now, Rav Huna is different than what Rava said in Ksubis, because Rava in Ksubis said that a fulfillment of the condition ba'inis does not count as a fulfillment. So it was only by a get that we say that the Rabbanan let the get go through anyway in order that the woman should feel comfortable to remarry. But in a monetary case, Rava would say that it's not a fulfillment and it's as if you came back. Rav Huna says no. Even by money matters, a kiyum hatnai ba'inis is considered a kiyum, is considered a fulfillment. You cannot tie no'inus even when it comes to money matters. So Rava l'shitasai in Ksubis says, oinusu, but he didn't return ba'inus. That's not what he meant. he got held up, he got sick. So says the Gemara, Oynis hu, and Oynis Rachmana Patre. We have the Parsha, Oynis Rachmana Patre. Now this is something new. The Gemara in Ksubis didn't bring this in. Oynis Rachmana Patre. Whenever an act is committed by Oynis against the person's will, the Torah exempts the person. So, under certain circumstances, if I damage ba'inus, I'm pater. The Gemara brings the pasuk. Ulenaira loisase dabar. It's speaking about a case where a married woman, is raped. So it's against her will. The rapist is executed because he committed adultery. The woman, the girl, is off the hook. Ulenaira loisase dabar. It's a special pasuk that exempts an inus. By the way, why do you even require a pasuk that an oinus is pater? Isn't it obvious that what's the alternative? To punish the girl if it was an oinus? So it's very interesting. The Sefer HaChinuch says that there would be a slight havamina. We could theoretically entertain punishing the girl in this case, because sometimes when it comes to arayas, we actually spoke about this, when it comes to arayas, when it comes to forbidden relationships, There's a mitzvah of horig v'al yavor. There's a mitzvah that the person should allow themselves to be killed rather than commit the three cardinal sins. We're speaking about adultery here, a married woman. So we could have entertained that because she didn't give up her life, maybe she does deserve a punishment. Nevertheless, the pasuk says, ulenayra leisase dabar. Even in a case where she did do something wrong, because perhaps she should have given up her life, nevertheless, because the act was committed by Inus, she's pater, right? So that would mean that it goes without saying that if a person eats treif by Inus, the person was forced to eat treif, someone holds a gun to your head and says, you better violate Shabbos. So, of course, you're supposed to violate Shabbos, pikuach nefesh. Of course, the person is not deserving of any punishment because ulenayra leisase dabar, it's an Inus. The chiddush of the pasuk here is even if we say that she should have given up her life, let's say a person was forced to commit avodah zarah, or the person was forced to commit an act of murder. All of these cases, the person should rather give up his life than to commit these three sins. The person neglected to do so, the person succumbed, and the person committed the murder. Nevertheless, the bezin would not be able to punish the person because it was an inus. Ulenayra leisase dabar. So the Gemara in the Darim applies this concept that you're never held responsible for an act that was committed against your will. You're never held responsible for a maisa oinus. So Rava applies this pasuk to fulfillments of conditions, just like when a person performs an avera oinus, even the big three. The halacha is that he's not held accountable. So too, when a person fulfills the condition oinus, because after all, I said, if I don't return within 30 days, I'm forfeiting my case. So, and I didn't return within 30 days, but that's only because I was held up somewhere. I was sick, or I was held up somewhere. Ba'inus. Nevertheless, the pasuk says, "Ulenayra leisase dabar." You're never held responsible for an act that was ba'inus, and it's not considered a fulfillment of the condition, and therefore you're allowed to come back and pursue the case, because that's not what you meant when you said, if I don't return within 30 days. So the Gemara bavarns, the Gemara itself anticipates this objection. V'chitei mekatala shayni, maybe that's only when we talk about an oinish, maybe that's only talking about when we're dealing with punishments. Maybe you're not responsible for an act ba'oinish, you're exempt from Mises Bezdin or from other punishments. But when it comes to just ordinary money matters, maybe the halacha is that a kiyum hatnai ba'oinus is considered a fulfillment. But we have also in the darim nidrei oinsim. If the person makes a neder, but again, the fulfillment of the neder, the fulfillment of the conditions of the vow were ba'oinus, again, the neder is not effective, the vow is not effective, we can annul the vow. So for example, hadiru chavera shoichel etzlai. It's a mishnah coming up. So I'm so intent, I want to invite you, and you keep on refusing to come. So I get frustrated and I say, if you don't come and eat by me, come for Shabbos and eat by me, then I'm going to make a vow and you're not going to be allowed to eat, but you ever come to me. It's now or never. If you don't show up for Shabbos for the Suda, then I'm going to be so upset that I'm never going to invite you again. And what ends up happening? B'chala. And the guest got sick. Oy shechala b'noy. Or the guest's son got sick, which is like a step removed. Or she'ikvay nor. Or he was blocked by the river, similar to the ferry case. Hare elu nidrei oinsim. All of these cases are considered oinsim. All these cases, it wasn't your fault that you didn't come. You wanted to come and be my guest. So the neder is not effective because the whole neder was that if you voluntarily don't show up, then I'm going to be upset at you. But if you were held back by oinis, then the neder is void because that wasn't included in the neder. So you see from here clearly that a kiyum hatanai ba'oinis doesn't count as a kiyum hatanai. So this is Rav's kasha on Rav Huna. Rav Huna held that if you say, if I don't return within 30 days, I want to forfeit the case. And the reason you didn't return was because you were held up ba'oinis. Rav Huna says it doesn't matter. You forfeit the case because a kiyum hatanai ba'oinis counts as a kiyum. Rav counters that you're never held responsible for a maisa oinis. Not only are you not punished for a maisa oinis, but even in day-to-day, ben adam l'chaveroi, you're never held responsible for an oinis, and just like the neder wouldn't be effective, so your forfeiture of the case would not be effective. In the footnote 1 on the bottom, so now we have to defend Rav Huna, because we don't paskin like Rav Huna, we paskin that a fulfillment of an oinis is not considered a fulfillment. We pass him like Rava. But after all, how does Rav Huna defend himself against this Mishnah that the neder is not effective because the fulfillment was bonus? So in the notes here, in the footnote number one, so Tzarachi and Das Rav Huna. What does Rav Huna hold? Why did Rav Huna hold that a kiyum hatanai bonus counts if when it comes to the neder not? So the Mefarshim say interesting things here. The Ran in Nedarim says that Rav Huna's idea was, the same way the Gemara said in Ksubis, that when you got held up by the ferry, that's something that's so common, it's something that's so, that you should have anticipated, you should have specifically said, you should have expressed, you should have specifically written that fulfillment out. So Rav Huna holds that that's always the case, that Rav Huna holds that every oinis is considered a kiyum, because if not, you should have accepted, you should have written, accept an oinis. Rav Huna holds, you always have to write that. But that's fine and good by a din Torah. If you really meant that if an oinis occurs, you don't want to forfeit the case, you should have said so. So Rav Huna holds that you forfeited the case regardless. But when it comes to nedarim, it's interesting. Who made the nether? The host. It wasn't the guest who made the nether, it was the host who made the nether. So if the guest has an oinis, so it's clear that the host didn't mean that. And what's the taina? That the host should have expressed that, he should have said, unless it's an oinis, because someone else is imposing the oath against you. So he's not so particular to to bavorn, to anticipate every scenario. We go back to what we normally would think, that he didn't mean an oinis, and therefore that's why Rav Huna would say that a neder is different, because we understand that the oinis was never meant to be a kiyum of the tanai. If you yourself are making your own deal against yourself, the man was giving a get, or the litigant was stipulating against himself to forfeit the case, so he should have expressed that he doesn't want to count an oinis against himself. That's Rav Huna's svar. But when it comes to neder, we don't have that level of expectation. We don't think that the Madir, the person who's making the nether, we don't think he's going to care to expressly take out a kiyum hatanai ba'oinis, because it's not, he doesn't care. So therefore, we go back to what we think, that an oinis is not a kiyum hatanai. That was the Ran Svara. The Rush in Nedarim says a different Svara. The Rush says that Rav Huna would argue that Nedarim are different, because Nedarim, you need piv v'libay shavin. We'll see more about that in Nedarim. When a person makes a nether, he has to intend for the words that came out of his mouth. If words just fall out of your mouth without kavana, you said the wrong word or you said something wrong, you didn't really mean it. So then since the nether is sort of subjective, so whatever you meant is what happens. So therefore, says Rav Huna, that's why a kiyum hatanai is not considered a kiyum. But when it comes to ben adam l'chaveroi dinei maminis, Rav Huna is of the opinion that a kiyum atnai counts as a kiyum, a neder is an exception. And then finally, there's another svara here. there's another svara here that that Tosfos writes at the very last line of the footnote that Rav Huna holds that when it came, that the Beis Din case is the exception. Because since you even entertained forfeiting the case, we take that as like a Haidas Bal Din, that maybe your documents really are forged. So according to the first two Pshatim of the Rishonim, the Svara Chitzoyne is that an Einus, according to Rav Huna holds that an Einus is a fulfillment of the condition, and the Neder was the exception, but according to Tosfos, it was the contrary, that the Din Torah was the exception, because the fact that you even volunteered to forfeit the case, that's taken as a Haidas Bal Din, that your documents are forged. In any case, we don't paskin like Rav Huna anyway, we paskin like Rava, that even in the Din Torah case, the halacha is that your Kiyam Hatnai is not considered to be a Kiyam Hatnai. So now the Gemara in the Darim goes through the same examples that we had in Ksubis, Tikshaling Rava. So in item Ches, so we say, in Rava, you held that not returning Ba'inis doesn't count, and the person did not forfeit his case. So why is that different than a man who gave the get and stipulated that the get should be effective retroactively, and he ends up dying, so the halacha is that it is a good get. How come over there he can't tie the Ba'inis? How come he can't void the get? Right, he fulfilled the condition bainus. He died. So says the Gemara, the same thing that the Gemara said in Ksubis, because it's different over there, because if it's not a get, she's going to have to do Yibum, because he died. And that was the whole reason he gave the get, to release her, that she should be free to marry. So the Gemara, in other words, says the same Svara that the Gemara said in Ksubis, that it's Nichaleid Leitipo Kamayom. Then the Gemara in item Tess asks the same question of as the Gemara in Ksubis from the next case. Why is that different than a person who gave his wife a get and he says, if I don't return within 30 days, the get should be effective? And an einus happened, paske mabra. So the Gemara in Nedarim spells it a little bit differently. In general, the Lashon of Nedarim is Mishunah. It's almost like Yushalmi's. The Lashon of the Nedarim is a different expressions that you have in the other Masechtas. So the Gemara, it's the same exact case, but the Gemara expresses it differently. Paske Mavra, so he wasn't able to get across the river. Omaluhu chazoy dasoy b'chazoy dasoy. The man is pleading that I wish I could come, I want to come. And Shmuel Paskin's loishmei masya, it doesn't count. So again, don't we see from there that a fulfillment, ba'oinis, is considered a fulfillment? So we're challenging Rava, that why does Rava say that you can pursue the case, you didn't forfeit the case, the Lamaisi didn't show up. Just like Shmuel Paskin, the Lamaisi didn't show up. So the Gemara gives the same teretz that it says in Ksubis, again in different words, the Gemara says, Dilma Einsa de Megalia Shiny. The Gemara in Ksubis uses the expression Einis de Shriach, it was a common Einis. This is an Einis de Megalia, it's a revealed Einis, it's an obvious problem that can occur, that you get stuck in traffic, or that the ferry is on the wrong side of the river. Umabra migli ointse. Umabra, the difficulty in crossing the river is something that's obvious. So again, you should have stipulated that you don't want this to count. And since you didn't stipulate that, so it's your own fault, and that's why you can't tie the oinus. Now the Rishonim speak out just in terms of Pshat, that the Gemara could have said the same thing that the Gemara concluded with in Ksubis, that get is an exception, because we want the woman to feel comfortable to remarry. So at the end of the day, you really can't prove anything from Gittin, but the Gemara is just going with these other original svaras that in all of these cases, you would not be able to tie Na'idus anyway. So in item Yud, I summed it up, that what we have here is a Machlekes Rava and Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds that in Oinus, Akim Hatnai Ba'Oinus, we accept it as Akim, even for monetary matters. And therefore, he had to forfeit the case. But Rava l'shitase, we paskin like Rava, that a kiyum hatnai ba'inis does not count. And therefore, we don't hold it against you. And the transaction is void. And get is the exception, because we want the woman to be able to be free to remarry. In Aydem Yer Aleph, there's a machlokes rishonim, what the svara is exactly. it doesn't make too much of a difference because the facts are the same that a kiyum hatanai ba'ainus is not considered a kiyum. But the Rishonim argue, what's the svar? What's the lumdus? Why is a kiyum ba'ainus? Why doesn't it count as a kiyum? So the Ran in Nedarim says, and here's the quote from the Ran, Harei elu nidrei oinsin, that when a person makes a neder with a stipulation, and it was obvious that the stipulation wasn't fulfilled, so the oinus, the neder is void. So says the Ran, lefishlei ola alev madir lahadiroi im yero leikach, because everyone knows that the madir, the one who made the neder, never would have made the neder under those conditions. He didn't mean that if you don't come to his suda because you got sick, he never meant to penalize you for that. So although technically you didn't show up for the party or whatever, and technically the nether should be effective, but everyone knows that that's not what he meant, and therefore the nether is void. And the same thing over here says the Ran, that when a person stipulates to the Bezin that if I don't return after 30 days, I want to forfeit my case, everyone knows that you didn't mean if an oinus happens, you meant that if you deliberately didn't return, that should be taken as a forfeiture of the case. But if you're held back by oinus, you never meant to forfeit the case because of that. And that's why the bittel schusei or the nether are void, because that's not considered a fulfillment of the condition. So again, why is the fulfillment by oinus not a fulfillment? Because you never meant that that should be considered a fulfillment. Pashut. Rashi seems to say a little bit more lumdish. Rashi says in Ksubis, Ubahai Oinsa Lainichale Lemivtal Gita, that this Oinis, Lainichale Lemivtal Gita, he's referring to the case when the man dies. An Oinis, when he dies, he doesn't want to avoid the get, because he wants the get to go through. Aba Ba'insa Achrina, the Nichale Liftule Gita, but some other Oinis, for example, he gets sick, he wants to void the get. Emelach Yesh Oinis Begit. So if we're carefully medayik in the Rashi, Rashi doesn't say that the reason an oinus is normally not a fulfillment is because originally when you stipulated, you never meant that. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says he's looking at it at the time of the oinus. At the time of the oinus, do you want the get to go through or not? It's as if Rashi gives the person a choice. When it comes to the man dying, where he would rather the get go through because he doesn't want his wife to be obligated to Yibum, so he wants the Misa, he wants the lack of returning through death to be considered a Kiyum Hatanai. But if some other Oinus happens, where he would rather it not be considered a fulfillment, then it won't be considered a fulfillment. So Rashi is very different than the Ran. The Ran makes it sound like it's all about what you had in mind originally. When you originally made such a condition, did you have in mind that an oinus should be taken as a fulfillment, or did you have in mind that an oinus should not be taken as a fulfillment? According to the Ran, it's irrelevant what you would want at the time of the fulfillment of the oinus. It's too late. It all depends on what you meant originally. According to Rashi, it's almost as if you have a bechira at the time of the oinus to either consider it to be a kiyum or to not consider it to be a kiyum. It fits more literally into the words of the Gemara that you can tain oinus. It's up to you. If you fulfill, if you didn't show up, you're in the middle of a court case and you didn't show up for 30 days, but it was an oinus, you can tain oinus. You can claim oinus. It's all about later when you didn't show up. It's up to you to claim if you want it to be a fulfillment or not. Or the man died. He didn't return because he died. So it's almost as if like we try to assess, we ask him, do you want the death to be considered not returning and you want the get to go through? Or do you want to use the fact that it's an oinus to cancel the get? And we know the person would respond, I want the get to go through because I don't want my wife to fall to Yibo. So it's all about at the time of the kiyum. So it's a very different svara between the Ran and the Rashi. According to the Ran, it's based on what you meant originally. According to Rashi, it's more, in a way, it's more loyal to the text. Can you tain oinus or not at the time of the oinus? So according to Rashi, it's very good why the Gemara in Adarim brings the verse, ulenayra le'sasidav, because we really learned something from that pasuk. We learned from that pasuk that an act that was performed under duress does not, you do not suffer any consequences because of that act. The woman committed adultery. She was forced to do so. She's exempt. We do not hold her responsible. So it's the same thing here. When it comes to Nedarim or it comes to other transactions, we do not hold you responsible and you're able to void the transaction. That's according to Rashi. According to the Ran, the fact that the Oinus is not considered a fulfillment really has nothing to do with the Pasuk. It's more of like an analogy, or it's like an Asmachta, that just like the Torah doesn't punish you for an act committed by Oinus, so too, you probably didn't have that in mind when you stipulated originally, and you don't want the Oinus to be considered a fulfillment. It's more of like an analogy. But according to Rashi, it's the same halacha, that a Maisa Ba'Oinus does not create Chiyuvim. You're never obligated by something that you performed ba'inus. Just like the person is not punished for having performed the, committed the avera ba'inus, so too, you're not punished, you're not penalized for fulfilling the t'nai against your will. So according to Rashi, it's more exact in the text. So this is a Mahalikas Rashi in the Ran. It's a Gishmaka Sugya. Could you use an oinus to fulfill the condition or not? Okay, so now the Gemara in Gittin, on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, has a whole different kind of case, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is the one who draws in this Gemara, who brings this Gemara to weigh in our sugya over here. Now there's a very different kind of a case here. Hahu Gavra, in item Yudal. There was a man, the Zavin Aaron Lechavrei, and he sold a piece of land to his friend. He sold his friend a piece of land, a condominium, a house, a building, doesn't matter what it was. He sold his friend a piece of land. Kibel alei kol oinsa de misyalad. And not only did the moicher sell the piece of land, he accepted responsibility. Maybe he guaranteed it. Like a return policy. He has a 30-day return policy. He guaranteed the land. I'm selling you this condominium, and it's a guaranteed return policy. L'soif, at the end, afiku banara. So the municipality, they decided to open a river and to channel a river through that piece of land. So you bought, let's say, a $10 million condominium in Florida, in Miami, someplace, and then all of a sudden, now it's underwater. Now, the guy who sold it to you accepted upon himself responsibility. He said, I guarantee. Now, your apartment, your house is underwater. So you go back sheepishly to the moicher, and you say, excuse me, but didn't you guarantee the sale? So I want my $10 million back because my apartment building is underwater. Osilakame de Ravina. They came before Ravina. Omer lei, so Ravina paskin, zil shafi lei. You have to appease him. You have to reimburse him. You have to give back the money. Why? The hakabilas aloch kol einza demisyalid. Because after all, you insured the property. You insured the property. You were makabel on yourself any oinus that could happen. So this is something that was totally unexpected. That all of a sudden, the piece of property is under the water. They channeled the river, and it's under 5-10 feet of water. But so what? You accepted upon yourself any oinus. Omra le Rav Acha bar Tachlifa le Ravina. So Rav Acha bar Tachlifa says back to Ravina, oinsa de loy shchiyahu. This is so uncommon. Nobody could have anticipated this type of oinus, and therefore you're not responsible. So the moicher, who accepted upon himself responsibility to ensure any oinus, this is like a catastrophic circumstance. So I'm not responsible for that because this is such an oinus to lo shchiach. So I can tie an oinus. I can say this is an oinus. I don't want to have to reimburse you. Igalgal, that should be milsa, umat alakame de Rava. The case was brought before Rava, and omra lahu, oinsa to lo shchiachu, this is a completely unexpected oinus. It's an oinus deloy shchiach. So this is a completely different kind of an oinus, a different level of oinus, and you do not have to return the money. Imagine a person buys it, and all of a sudden, like an asteroid, collides with planet Earth, And so you call up your insurance company. You want you want to be reimbursed because the planet Earth was incinerated. So the insurance company tells you that, I'm sorry, we don't cover that. We don't cover such catastrophic things. We cover normal things. We don't cover the fact that your condominium is underwater. Now, this is the point. Esvei Ravina l'Rav. Ravina asks Rav Rav. He asks from a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Gittin. A man gives his wife a get, and he says the following: Imloy emet michuli zeh. If I don't arise from this illness, so the man is terminally ill. If I don't arise from this illness, I want the get to be a get. V'nafal olav bayis, and he died, but he didn't die as a result of the illness. He died because there was a catastrophic accident. The building collapsed. A yachishu nachash, or he was bit by a poisonous snake. So he ended up dying. He gave the get to his wife. He ended up dying, but the reason why he ended up dying was not because of the illness. Hooray, a get. It's a good get. So now, what is Ravina asking Rava? Rava paskin that if something crazy happens, you're not responsible. Why? Because you can tie an inus. What did Ravina say back? Ravina said back, but what about this case? Consider this case where the halacha is that the man gave his wife a get. If I don't arise from this sickness, so he simply meant to say that I maybe he didn't want her to fall to Yibam, like we said before. So he gave his wife a get, and he said, if I don't recover, I want the get to be a get retroactively. And he ended up dying for some crazy reason. The building collapsed, or the snake bit him. He was bit by a poisonous snake. So the Gemara paskens hareza a get. So now, this is a very interesting debate between Rava and Ravina. Rava holds that when it comes to monetary issues, you can tie an inus. We don't want to reimburse you. We don't cover catastrophic things. We don't cover the fact that your condominium is underwater. We don't cover that. You didn't buy flood insurance. You only bought the earthquake insurance. We don't cover that. You can tie an inus. Ravina is asking a kasha from get, where the halacha is that some other inus happened and he died. So the halacha is that it is a get. It's a kiyum hatnayah. It is considered a get, and the get's a get. And now Rava accepts the question, and Rava challenges back that the brisa was soicer itself because the other part of the brisa says that in such a case it wouldn't be a get. Rava says, since the brisa is internally contradictory, so it's mishabeshta. The brisa is just not authoritative, and forget about the brisa because it's an oinus b'loshkeh. But the question is, and this is what Rabbi Kiveger asks, the question is that what's going on in this Gemara? Rava paskind that you can tain oinus, that the insurance company doesn't have to pay for something that's crazy, because you can tain oinus. Ravina is challenging back from get. Now, didn't we say before in Maseches Ksubis that get is different? Anyway, get is different because he doesn't want her to fall to Yibum, or because Tznuas and Prutas, because the Rabbanan stepped in and said that the get's a get. So how could Ravina challenge Rava from a get to a monetary case? Rava himself distinguishes between a get and a monetary case. By a get, Rava agrees that you cannot tie an inus. But when it comes to monetary matters, Rava is of the opinion in the Gemara in the Nedarim that you could tie an inus. So what's the question? That's point number one. In point number two, Tezvav, an item Tezvav, Rosh Shlomo Hyman, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Tzur HaDas, he writes in his Sefer, Chiddushei Rav Shlomo, another question. Why isn't this Shakel of Atarya? Why isn't this dialogue between Rava and Ravina brought in Ksubis and brought in Nedarim? Why in Gittin is there like another perspective to the question of if you can tie an oinus or not, a case when you insured the property and an oinus happened and Rava says you're exempt and Ravina challenges from get? Why isn't this Shakel of Atarya, this dialogue, brought in Maseches Ksubis and Maseches Nedarim, which deals directly with the question if you can tie an oinus? Why didn't the Gemara bring this in? So Rav Shloimeh gives a teretz, and once you hear the answer is so obvious, it's like we kick ourselves. Why did we even think it was a question in the first place? Rav Shlomo gives a beautiful teretz. We said svaras before that why you can tie noines in tesvav and I in tesvav tezayin. We said svaras before why you're allowed to tie noines. According to Rashi, you can tie noines because you don't want the oines to trigger any obligation. Or we said in the name of the Ram that you didn't mean in oines. But in the sugya of ksubis and nedarim, what happened over there? It's a completely different story. Over there, you were performing a transaction. You were either giving a get or you were making a deal with your litigant that you want to forfeit the case. So you're making a transaction. You're affecting a chalois. And you stipulated that you want the transaction to be effective, whether it's the get or it's the forfeiture. You're affecting a transaction on condition that you don't return. You have every intention of returning. You don't want an oinus to be held against you. Either you didn't mean it originally, like the Ran says, or at the end, you don't want the oinus to trigger any sort of consequence against you because you can tie an oinus. So over there, you can tie an oinus. And that's why when it comes to monetary matters, Rava says you can taka tie an oinus. And that's why when it comes to gittin, there's a special takana that you can't tie an oinus. But over there, you should be able to tie an oinus because you don't want the transaction to be effective. You don't want the fulfillment to be held against you. But in the Gemara in gittin, it's the exact opposite. Excuse me. The Gemara in Gittin, you're an insurance company. That's what you do for a living. You are makabel oinus. You said that you're being makabel any oinus. You can't tie the oinus. You can't say, well, it was something that happened by oinus, because you said that you're being makabel all oinsin. You said that you're being makabel oinsin. Or let's say the man says to his wife, if I don't arise from this terminal illness, I want your get to be a get. So you're anyway depending the fulfillment of the get on something beyond your control. There's no issue of tying oinus. When do we say you can tie an oinus? When you don't want the get to be valid. When you don't, where you perhaps would not want that to be a fulfillment. In the Gemara in Gittin, it's on the contrary. The entire case was when you were anticipating an oinus. You were not giving the get because you want to give the get. You want the fulfillment by oinus to be fulfilled. What difference does it make in the long run if he dies from the illness or he dies because the building collapsed? Or what difference does it make in the long run if there's some oinus that the property was destroyed or if it's underwater? What difference does it make? You were makabel all oinsim. You don't have the regular tying the oinus that you don't want the oinus to be held against you because you accepted upon yourself that was the whole insurance. You accepted upon yourself originally any oinus that would happen. So what is Rav's taina there? Rav's taina that it was an oinus deloy shchiach, it was such a crazy oinus, such a catastrophic oinus, that you never had in mind. You didn't even anticipate that. It should be obvious that when you were makabel oinsim, when I'm an insurance company and I say I'm going to cover any damage, I did not expect that kind of damage. That was never included in my Kabbalah. It's not that you're tining oinus, that you don't want that to be held against you, because you were maskim at the get-go that you're going to be achroi in an oinus. You don't have a tainus oinus. Over there, it's a completely different svara. That level of oinus, you simply were not thinking about. That wasn't included in your Kabbalah. And that's why Rava says that it's an oinus l'shchiach. Ravina held that it's still covered by your oinus. But that discussion in Gittin has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you can tie an oinus when the fulfillment of your condition was something that you wanted to leave up to your discretion and you fulfilled it against your will. But if your entire insurance was to cover things that are against your will, then it's a completely different question whether or not that particular oinus was simply nichlal in your Kabbalah or not. But in the case of the sugya of Ksubis, you are not makabel oinsim. You don't want the oinus to be a kiyum of the tanai. And it has nothing to do with whether or not the oinus was included in your kabbalah. It's clear that you don't want an oinus to be a kabbalah. Then it depends on tining oinus. We paskin that you're able to tine oinus. So this is Rav Shlomo's, that's why the Gemara in Ksubis doesn't bring this whole discussion of the Gemara in Gittin. It's a geshmak, a lamdish ateretz. It's like clear as day, and it's very, very geshmak. It's interesting, when I was living in Ottawa, so there were two people, they were very close to the Kail there, and they were hikers. So every year they would go to the mountains and hike. So once one of the people, he actually asked me, can I give my wife a conditional get in case I don't return from my hike? You know, the hikes were getting more and more adventurous and more courageous. And now he's actually doing real mountain climbing. So he wanted to know if he could. So I told him, you have to ask an expert in Gittin, but I don't think our minig is nowadays to give tnoyim in Gittin. We don't stipulate in Gittin anymore. So just be careful and maybe hold off from the core mountain climbing. So these kinds of things actually happen. You know, the David HaMelech instituted that we should give Gittin in Melchemes Beis David. We don't give Gittin al Tanai anymore. So Yasha Kwech, everybody. Like I said, next week I don't think I can make it because I have carpool with the kids at the yeshiva. It's impossible to get back in time. So Yasha Kwech.